It's December 11th, 2015, and we are approaching the summit. I'm Colin Detmar.
And I'm Emily Dalton. And this is Bottle Crow, a Dota 2 podcast.
I should have said, like, the summit of the summit, because we're at the tournament, but, like, you know, we're getting towards the finals. I was trying to do a clever thing. Yeah. The Summit 4. It's a tournament. And we'll talk about it later, because we're good at podcasting and talking about things in order.
Yeah, sure.
But, no, I guess we should talk about it now. Let's talk about current events.
Summit 4. How's it going at the summit?
I am enjoying the tournament quite a bit. I don't know if you've managed to catch any of the games.
I've actually been pretty busy watching a Let's Play by Scanline Media.
Oh, really? What were the game? What game were they Let's Playing?
It's Undertale, which I've been interested in anyway since a goon made it, who's a cool dude. So.
Man, you guys should probably check that out.
Yeah, it's a good watch.
Anyway, enough of our blatant
cross promotion.
Sure, that's what you call it. Yeah, I don't know. I think, like, last year, I guess it was actually earlier this year. I don't really know how the way they're scheduling these tournaments now is weird. Earlier this year, the Summit 3 was kind of a bummer, I thought.
Yeah, I think that was the consensus.
And this year, I don't know if it's just because I have lower expectations now or what, but I'm enjoying it a lot more. It's like, it's kind of weird that, like, here's an example. You look at their, the lineup of teams they have, and mostly it's a pretty good lineup, mm-hmm. but, like, Team Secret's not there. And that's kind of weird.
Why aren't they there?
I don't know. I would guess they elected not to go because it's not very much money.
Mm-hmm.
I think the prize pool is in the low, like, it is around, like, $130,000.
God, that's so much money.
It's so much money, but compared to what they're like, they've gotten used to.
Sure.
But... It doesn't seem like a lot. And, Reddit got a little upset about that. They're like, man, this is so little money compared to these other tournaments. And several pros got out and made public statements basically saying, like, well, like, it's not about the money for us. Beyond the Summit is a tournament where they, like, I don't know if they're renting or if they own this house, but it is a big house in California, and, like, you see people, like, casting from the couch while players are behind them in the kitchen getting food. Like, it's just, it's a real, like, closely knit atmosphere there where, like, you bump into Arteezy on the way to the bathroom. And I think the teams really enjoy that atmosphere.
And they've also, last time, but, like, especially the Summit, too, they've done some really fun stuff, like, some of it kind of gimmicky, but still, I can see it'd be a good environment to play in.
Totally. So, I think as long as the teams are happy to show up, like, I mean, you know, EG is there, Virtus Pro, Vici, OG, big teams are there. Also, Digital Chaos is there, and I don't quite know why, but, you know, at that team, really, it's a bummer. Those guys, right? Like, the North American scene is a hard scene. I don't know why it is, but in a lot of esports, North America kinda sucks.
Yeah.
And Digital Chaos, like, EG is killer. EG is great, and it took them a long time to figure out how to be great. EG is one of the oldest teams, and they finally figured it out and are on top of the world, right? But the other teams in North America are just not up to snuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we've got, you know, Complexity, which they're okay. Digital Chaos is fine. Cloud9 has been various iterations, you know, like... Sure, they're a great person to lose on a big stage, but, like...
they've been memorable.
Yeah, but, you know, we don't really have any serious contenders, and I don't think that's a problem.
Aside from EG.
Yeah, sorry, aside from EG. EG is a big exception. And, like, I don't think that's a problem, personally. Like, I have no problem rooting for a foreign team, myself. I was real bummed that Mineski did not really show at this tournament. Like, they were there. That not that kind of show. Like, they didn't really
bring their A game.
They didn't really bring their A game. And they've it's a young team that really needs that has a lot of growth to do, and I hope they get a chance to do it. But you know, like, really excited to see some matches from VG Gaming. Really excited to see OG. You know, yeah, I like Virtus Pro a lot, actually. But America's always in esports the weakest area, the weakest region, and of course it's true again in Dota 2, but it would be nice if our scene showed up a little more. I don't know.
I'm with you, but I don't know what you do about that. I mean,
oh sure. It's sort of like rubbing your hands together and being distressed, but it's like there's no, if you feel like you need to solve that problem, like if a tournament organizer or Valve were to try to solve that problem, that already would be a mistake.
Yeah.
So I think it's just something that's just going to have to result naturally, or it won't. Either way. But some of the things that have come out of the tournament, I mean, obviously we've had some good matches. We've had some bad matches too. Digital Chaos versus EG was a really frustrating series to watch, just because EG. Digital Chaos's strategy was really smart, which was just that they just killed EG's pacing. EG is a team that is very used to playing really tight Dota and just sort of like not playing aggressive, but playing with enough pressure applied to you to make you want to do something and then punishing you for it.
Yeah.
And DC just refused to do anything. And it was an effective strategy for throwing EG off their game. EG won in the end, and it was a series of very boring games. The third game got exciting and was fun to watch, but games one and two, like, I was watching with, what did we settle on? Not former host. We had some fun term for Johnny.
Oh, host emeritus.
Host emeritus. There we go. I was watching with host emeritus Johnny, and his time zone, it was pretty late, so he was struggling not to pass out. It was like 3 p.m. my time, and so was I.
Ah, not so, the best sign.
No, not a good series. But I feel like some of the most notable stuff to come out of this tournament has been the continued excellence of the work of Dota 2 community personality Sir Action Slacks. That guy is fantastic.
In the literal sense, like, sort of actually unbelievable. I feel like my opinion is a little more mixed than yours. Like, I think some of his stuff is hilarious, and also I feel like I would run from any room that contained him.
I don't know. I feel like part of it is that I feel like, and you can correct me, but I feel like I have a more diverse sampling of his work.
That's very possible.
The stuff that he puts on his YouTube, I'm actually not very crazy about. Like, I can, sometimes it's kind of fun, but a lot of times it's just like he's in someone else's game being a lunatic, and that's like, okay, that can be fun, but I'm not, if that was what all he did, I wouldn't be that intrigued, I guess. But like, okay, he's always had good bits at the summit. He works well with those guys. Maybe he's their employee? I don't know. But like, last year, he had bits where, for example, he dressed up as Disruptor and rode on the shoulders of someone in a T-Rex costume and stole people's laptops.
No, I don't think it was that. I think it was one of those, like, I'm a cowboy, like, riding a dinosaur plushie costumes.
Was that it?
Yeah. It was like the $15 Walmart riding a dinosaur costume. It was even better than riding someone else's shoulders. It was awful.
Okay.
In the best way.
I just remember him, like, running out of the room with a computer and wailing, "Beware the clouds!" And I was like, this is pretty great. But, like, this year... So, okay, like, for instance, he produced a promotional video for EG versus DC, which is a matchup that nobody cared about. Before the match, EG, or PPD from EG, the captain, was on the stream talking and being interviewed, and the casters asked him, like, so what are the chances that you win? And EG looked back into the kitchen to see if there were any DC players there, and then said, let's be real, it's 0%.
Oh my gosh.
It was brutal.
Oh, man, Peter.
It was rough.
I'm glad he looked first.
Yeah, no, he craned his neck for quite a bit, and they're like, there's no DC players back there. He's like, okay, let's be real. And, as I say, the matches were pretty boring. DC is not a team that has really... I feel like they're a team that always puts up a fight and then loses, but they don't ever put up a very interesting fight either, you know? Mm. And that's the emotional feel. They're more successful than that sounds. They qualified for this tournament, but they just don't have the capability to hang at this level or to be interesting at this level, in my opinion. But Sir Action Slacks produced a promotional video, like, where he was hyping up the rivalry between Arteezy and Owie 2000, and, like, talking, like, in a grimdark Batman voice about how much these two hate each other, interspersed with clips of, like, Arteezy being like, yeah, man, have fun, good luck, it'll be a great series. And Owie being like, yeah, he's a pretty cool guy. And he's like, oh, he's a pretty good guy to kill.
It's
amazing. There's another little skit he did for the Summit 4 where he's showing off the house, right? Where he's just showing, like, looking around the house. And it's him and Pyrian Flax just being like... It's hard to describe how ludicrous their behavior is, but they're acting insanely pumped about everything. They're going into the kitchen and, like, rapping about Capri Sun. It's glorious. And that skit goes on a little too long, but that's the kind of material I like from him. But he also can be more serious. He did a series of player interviews for the Summit 4, where he is talking to these players, and, like, one, he knows a lot about Dota and about these players.
Yeah.
So he's asking really good questions, and occasionally he throws in jokes, like, joke questions that he gets answers for. It's not just him making a joke and then the player sort of shrugs and they move on. It's a joke that he gets the players to participate in, and it loosens them up so he can ask more serious questions.
Hmm.
They're great interviews.
I should watch them.
I really think that he is, like... Whether or not you like what he do, as a Dota 2 personality, he is the best at the personality he's going for. He is great.
I don't know. I don't know about that last claim. You kind of lost me there a little bit. I mean, he is reaching further for personality than anybody else and gets there. But, like, I guess it depends on how we're defining a personality. I feel like Pyrian... Who, I prefer his content. But also just like, no, he seems to have successfully achieved the personality he's going for.
That's very true.
Although, if we're going outsized personality, then yeah, definitely there's no contest.
Yeah. Alright, I can, you're right. Maybe that was a bit of a bit too far of a claim.
My two favorite, probably overall, my two favorite, like, Dota 2 personalities are Purge and Pyrian. So, it's like, no! Hang on! Sometimes the understated dudes.
Man, I like Blitz and Slack. So.
Blitz seems like a nice guy. Slack, I think it's hilarious sometimes.
He's a lunatic.
But yeah, like, I wouldn't let him in my house to use the bathroom.
I would let him in the house to use the bathroom out of an appreciation for his work, but I would, like, stand outside the bathroom and listen for him stealing toilet paper. He's a madman. Yeah. So, one of the things I feel like this meta has revealed to, maybe to me, maybe everyone else already knew this. I find it incredibly frustrating whenever an ability in the game grants you invulnerability, like when you can't be damaged or CC'd. If there's at any point an ability where neither of those things can happen for you, well, okay. That's a foolish comment, right?
Well, but I mean, do you mean like if you can't be damaged but you can do stuff?
Yeah, okay. Here's how I should phrase this. If an ability allows you to, for any period of time, be able to be completely safe from damage, completely safe from control, and still in full control of your... Or, and still, like, getting things done, mm-hmm. then that's a problem.
I agree with
like,
you.
Snowball, like, you can be safe from damage and from CC while you're sitting and waiting for Snowball to happen. Same with, like, Shadow Demon's, you know, dispersion. And also, like, with a couple of seconds of when you cast Nightmare on a teammate, you get a little bit of invincibility. But, like, those all have sacrifices in place. You know what heroes tend to violate that?
I do, but let me play straight woman and say, which heroes, Colin?
You could have gone with it, but sure. The spirits.
The spirits!
Okay. Right up front, where I'm going to say, perhaps this is dramatic to think, I have the least problem with Earth Spirit of all of these characters. Earth Spirit has some balance issues. None of his abilities feel to me inherently completely fucked.
You heard it here first. Earth Spirit, Balance Spirit.
I mean, like, yeah. I, you know, don't need to make many changes to add him, in my opinion. But more to the point, just, like, nothing, like, he doesn't need a redesign. He needs, or maybe he does, but, like, none of his abilities are just fucked up.
I mean, outside of the range of Dota, like, his ult is pretty fucked up.
Sure, but, in, yeah, as you say, that fucked up in the way that's okay in Dota.
Love this game.
Ember Spirit's Sleight of Fist is fucking trash. He is immune to damage and to CC because he technically, like, doesn't exist at that moment. He's out in fucking space or another dimension or whatever. But he is not only getting things done, he is attacking everything within a fairly large AoE with a harder right click than he normally has. It has great range. He can cast some spells while doing it. And Cleave works on it, so as you see, if he gets a Battle Fury, he can, like, destroy an entire team at once with one click while being invincible.
Spoiler, he gets a Battle Fury.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's one thing that the patch has made, like, just sort of, the patch hasn't changed any of this. This has been true for a long time, but it's kind of put a bullet in it, right?
Yeah.
Like,
or Storm Spirit. No. You haven't even gotten into fucking Storm Spirit, his invulnerable bullshit.
I haven't gotten into Storm Spirit. You're right. Ember Spirit pisses me off more because he's popular right now.
Yeah.
Because he's powerful right now. Storm Spirit used to piss me off more. Storm Spirit's Zip Zap is a really cool ability. And I really like it. And you really can't make him completely invincible while doing it. That's so fucked up.
While we're doing caveats, I would like to say also that all those characters seem like cool guys. Like, Storm Spirit, good dude, but you gotta fuck that guy up a little bit, because come on, seriously.
It's outrageous. The fact that if he has mana, he can make himself invincible for as long as he has mana.
Gross,
it's just
gross,
unreal.
Gross.
Like, you could make him immune to damage, or you could make him immune to CC. You can't do both and also let him be a fucking, like, ball of lightning zipping across the map. That's not okay.
I agree with you. This is, like, this is not going to be the most controversial conversation, because I just straight up agree with you. We've talked about this stuff a little bit in the past, and it's just, it's so frustrating to play against. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, Ember Spirit also has the, like, the remnants and jump to remnants, which also breaks this rule. I mean, he's not getting too much done during that because he moves so fast. That one, I actually, like, it frustrates me more, but I guess from a design perspective, it doesn't violate this rule as much because, like, okay, I think you can get off a Searing Chains while doing that, but, like, you're not really doing much when you jaunt. You're just escaping or getting in.
Although you are escaping every goddamn time. I'm grouchy about that, but okay, different problem.
I would like it to have a max range. That would be okay. But yeah, I feel like, I mean, we did talk about this off the air. We talked also with Host Emeritus Johnny, and he was of the opinion that he doesn't want to make a rule about this because he thinks the rules can get in the way of design. And I agree with that in theory. I agree with the thought that rules inhibit design and you shouldn't rely on them. But I feel pretty comfortable with a rule that you can't ever be an unstoppable juggernaut who's murdering everyone.
By which you mean literally unstoppable.
Yes, no,
that's... I'm now thinking of a lot of games, like, man, sure. Yeah, yikes.
If there's a theoretical possibility to stop you, then we're fine.
Okay.
It doesn't matter how hard that theory is to hit. Like, if you get farmed enough, people are really hard to stop. But as long as technically the possibility exists, then we're fine.
All right. We'll shake on it.
Gosh. I get so mad thinking about those heroes. I get so mad thinking about all the times that I've been going up against an Ember Spirit who was farmed, and we could have taken him down, except for he did Sleight of Fist, and he was invincible for so long, and we just had to wait it out, and in that time our supports died and we couldn't fight.
It is pretty discouraging to see him picked on another team. And not, like, I'm not thrilled to see him on our team, but seeing him picked by the other team, yeah. Like,
Yeah.
And as you know, I pretty much only play random draft these days, so it doesn't happen as much as I could, but yikes.
Yeah. And, like, that's... Dota has always had a weird relationship with abilities that are, like, fun for the user, but not as fun for the victim.
Hmm.
But I feel like there's a point where you go too far with it. Like, Bloodseeker's Rupture is not usually fun for victims, right?
Right.
But it feels like there are things you can do.
Totally. Just stand still.
There is nothing you can do against Zip Zap. There is nothing you can do against Jump to Remnant. There is nothing you can do against Sleight of Fist. You can stop him from doing them in the first place. But if he gets the opportunity to do them, you just don't have any options anymore.
Yep, it's frustrating. It would be nice to see that change. So, Reddit, get on that, would ya?
Yes. My community has the power to change this. Yours does not. All right, so do you want to talk about our Ags of the Week?
I do. Do you have perhaps a Lore of the Week to accompany it?
Of course I do. You know, maybe we could talk about the Ags first, and then we could talk about the lore. Sure. Definitely not because I'm refreshing my memory.
Sure, no problem. I believe we picked Dazzle for our Ags of the Week.
We did. So, okay. Dazzle the Shadow Priest, right?
Yeah. He is confusing.
He is confusing. I guess because of the way our Ags works, we should probably talk about the lore first. I got to it anyway.
Okay.
So, Dazzle is part of a tribe where one of the roles they have is Shadow Priests, right? You become a Shadow Priest, and the way your rite of passage works is that you go through a different realm of existence called the Nothal Realm, right? Sometimes you die in there, sometimes you go crazy, sometimes you come back just having weird fucking powers, right?
Right.
Dazzle was the youngest ever to try and, you know, do this ritual, go through this other realm, and when he finally convinced them to let him, he came back and his healing is now all weird, right? He's the greatest Shadow Priest ever, but part of the way that works is that he is casting evil magic and it's good, because the Nothal Realm is fucking weird. It says specifically, the properties of light and dark are inverted.
I keep thinking of it as Bizarro, which is super unhelpful, but a little funny.
He's strapped to his ceiling bed, yes. Yeah, so he is a healer who can harm as well because his magic is weird and inverted. And it's all kind of sinister, but he's a good guy.
Is he a good guy? I thought he was a bad guy.
I mean, he's a bad guy, but he's cool.
That's great, though, because I mean, I play Dazzle, and even so, I find it easy to forget, because he's just running around healing here, doing the whole thing, and then at the end of the game, he's like, fuck yes, darkness overtakes when you win. Like, wait, what? What?
Yeah, like, you're under my protection, and then he's just, like, sacrificed to shadows, and you're like, whoa, what?
Oh, yeah, my protection? Super evil.
So what did you come up with, sister?
So I believe that I have heard that dude shout dark light many times. I actually looked at the responses page and couldn't find it. But I'm pretty sure I've heard him say dark light.
No, he says dark light. Okay. It is a compound word, so perhaps your search failed.
That would be, well, yeah. Also, my reading comprehension failed. But, yeah, dark light. So, think about the light, his powers over shadow. I thought that if Dazzle... Also, okay, let's just be real here. If Dazzle gets an Ags, this is kind of a weird game, right? Like,
yeah.
We had a great game yesterday, and I played Dazzle, and we kicked the shit out of them, and I ended the game with, like, mech, arcane boots, magic stick, TP scroll, right?
Yeah.
So if you're getting an Axis Dazzle, it's kind of a weird game. So I didn't want to do something that just, like, scales up his powers. Like, no, yeah, and he can do those things the better. I mean, I also don't find that very interesting. But I think if Dazzle gets an Axis, all enemy wards have, like, the equivalent of night vision. It shrinks their area of vision. Yeah.
Would you want that to only happen at night?
No, all the time.
Okay. Okay.
Boom.
That's super scary.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right? The actual range reduction would have to be negotiated by somebody who is more interested in the math, but...
Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting because, like, there's one other character right now whose ags affects relationship with items, right? And that's, of course, Alchemist, who can gift them. And so it's an interesting, like, it affects the game in a really interesting way that ags haven't before, and in fact, not really any items have before. There are no items in the game that make another person's items worse, unless you count, like, Butterfly versus Monkey King Bar, right?
Right.
And I think that's a pretty cool interaction. I think it's, like, it's a kind of style of Ags or other item that you would need to keep a very careful watch on.
Yeah.
But I like it.
Thanks. And I also... What? I want to make wards more interesting to more people. Certainly as part of it, as a person who's buying them. So, what'd you come up with, man?
So, I've been thinking about the numbers of this, but I played a lot of World of Warcraft back in the day. I did a lot of raid healing, in fact, as a priest. Incidentally, there are shadow priests in World of Warcraft, but that's not germane to our subject, because I want to talk more about an ability holy priests had. Which was that when they died, they turned into, I believe it was called the Spirit of Redemption. You couldn't move, you couldn't attack, all you could do was cast healing spells for a few seconds with infinite mana before you truly died, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of an alternate sort of version of that idea, where if Dazzle dies, for a little period of time thereafter, what I'm thinking of right now is 5 seconds. But I could be convinced to tweak these numbers. But for 5 seconds, every second, he sends out this, like, shockwave of healing to his team.
Just healing, right? Or, like, shadow wave, where it also damages?
No, definitely just healing. Okay. Shadow wave would be way too strong. But it would be a very large AoE. I would even say a little bigger than cooldown. So, like, it's possible to kite... If you're the person who just killed Dazzle... It's possible to kite the enemy team away from Dazzle or pull them away. It would be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Probably it's wiser to just disengage and try again once that's over. But, so, in late game fights, if you're smart, you're taking out Dazzle basically first thing, right? Don't want to deal with that fucking Grave. Don't want to deal with Weave. Don't want to deal with his bullshit.
Oh, listen.
He's great.
Look over
I love
there.
Him. But
Visage, take out Visage.
You gotta kill that guy. But with this Ags, it allows Dazzle to be effective even if they're doing a good job of eliminating you immediately, right? And then the worst thing they can do is to ignore you because they're like, shit, we can't let him get that heal off, and then realize halfway through, like, no shit, we really do need to kill him. So he still gets all his spells off, and then you kill him and this happens. I think it gives him a way to affect team fights really dramatically, and I like that idea.
It also works in a cool way with his lore, since in death he's just going into the shadows for a little bit. There's no reason Dazzle wouldn't be able to still fuck with people. I like it.
All right. So, our lore of the week and our ags of the week didn't really have anything to do with our fan fiction, which has its own corner, but that's because I know very little about this week's fan fiction. Why don't you enlighten me?
So, okay, this was not one of my favorites. And I feel like that's not entirely fair of me, because the thing I like least about this week's fanfiction, which is called Bad Guy Falling for the Good Girl by AM3KOU, the thing I like least about it is that it ends up gamifying in kind of a bizarre way. And in a slightly different story, I would love that. Like, it's a thing I like a lot overall, so I feel like I'm being a little unfair to the story, but I'll give you a couple quick samples. We'll start at the very beginning, which right below the "I don't know what to name this story" sad emoticon. Crystal Maiden was placing wards near the top side shop when she heard a rustle in the bushes. Her heart rate sped up and suddenly stopped when Troll Warlord emerged from the thick jungle. For a moment, Crystal Maiden froze from fear. Troll Warlord could easily kill her, or at least lower her health to critical level, so she shot a blast of ice at him, turned on her heels, and ran away. The Warlord grunted, clearly not liking the icy feeling, got a ring of health for himself, and went away. Stupid Maiden. It's like, okay, fairly gamified. Like, I feel like it's being pretty straightforward with me about what's going to happen here. And what's going to happen here is the Troll Warlord is going to find a soft spot in his heart for one icy maiden. Yeah.
Okay.
So, it really just goes through the course of the match. Troll Warlord keeps an eye on her and at some point notices, he glanced at her feet and mentally facepalmed, almost mid-game in no boots. Her dainty legs were full of wounds and blood. He looked at his own expensive phase boots. Even Ventral Spirit had tread boots. Somehow he felt like he needed to do something for her. They're not on the same team. He checked his coin purse and nodded. He went to the side shop and purchased a pair of brown boots. He then threw them at Crystal Maiden's feet. The maiden froze Troll Warlord again, thinking he was throwing one of his axes at her, but was surprised when she found a pair of boots. Even more annoyed now, Troll Warlord entered the jungle to farm. Crystal Maiden quietly picked up the boots and put them on. So I guess a problem for me is that Crystal Maiden is unbelievably stupid in this story. Like, implausibly, like, a thin paste of glue and cardboard level stupid. Like, so stupid.
I mean, she has really low intelligence gain.
Yeah, no, it's the gamification, I guess. So, she seeks him out again to say thank you for the boots, right? And,
sure.
And she has a soft gaze, and she's, you know, Troll Warlord, like, I am your enemy, you shouldn't be here, you'll get killed if the others find you, go away, or just kill me. You'll get gold that way, whatever you're here for, just do it quickly and fuck off! And Crystal Maiden, like, shows him her inventory? She has a magic wand, and he's like, ugh, she really needs a babysitter and tells her to go away, and then they start talking about his childhood, and it's... very weird, right? They learn each other's real names. They hang out. Spectre wants to know what the fuck Troll Warlord thinks he's doing.
Good question.
Suddenly she stopped and faced him. Do you like her? Troll tripped over something and cursed. What the fuck? Spectre let out a sinister laugh. So our Troll Warlord is in love with a lovely Crystal Maiden. And so, you know, he throws axes at her or whatever. Yeah. It's clear, I believe the author's also written a Lena and Anti-Mage story, and it's mentioned at the top that that's one of the relationships here, but they just sort of have a friendly conversation at one point. Not even worth, who even cares. The story does make reference to the fact that Sven and Crystal Maiden get paired sometimes, because Crystal Maiden's confused about how it's going with a guy, and everybody's like, you mean Sven? She's like, no! Like, Are you sure it's not Sven? No! Good heavens, no. Why do you keep bringing Sven up? CM yelled. Right. Very confusing. Troll is sort of trying to protect her. And then I'm just going to read you the end of the story. I try not to always do this, but... The battle is finally coming to an end.
Radiant was gradually earning victory as the Dire's army pushed back to their base. Troll Warlord was more angry than ever as he focused on killing whoever was in front of him, trying to get Certain Maiden out of his mind, but all in vain. He missed the feeling he got when she was near him. If only they were comrades instead of enemies. The Radiants were pushing the top tower, and one particular hit from Axe made her collapse. None of them had TP this time. AM quickly finished off Axe. While Troll Warlord tried to approach her to drop TP for CM to use, the others tried to fend him off, thinking he was going to kill her. He got angry and started slashing them with his axes. CM tried to stop her comrades from attacking him when one of Troll Warlord's axes hit her from behind. She arched her back and uttered a single word before crashing on the ground in a blind heap of ice. His name. In his blind rage, Troll Warlord killed everyone on the battlefield. Rampage! Like, that's the end. Troll Warlord murders everybody and gets a rampage streak, including Crystal Maiden. And I just, like, I am working to respect the story for maintaining the gamification aspect, but in fact, I am just really annoyed at it. It is a series of awkward conversations followed by Troll Warlord murdering everyone, including Crystal Maiden.
I kind of think that ending makes it all worth it, actually.
I will send you the link.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I'm good. I don't know. I feel like it feels like this writer was confused as to what degree to implement the gamification.
And the romance. Both of those things.
Sure, yeah. Sure. It's just there's not a good balance going on here, or a balance that's awkward enough to be charming, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I mean, honestly, if Crystal Maiden hadn't been so unbelievably bizarrely stupid, then I would have had a little more to hang on to. But as it is, Troll seems mean, like confusingly mean. And I know that he's a turd as a character, but yeah, she's so unbelievably dumb that it just becomes, I felt like I was working to stay with the story, and then the story is like, psych, fuck you guys, rocks fall, everyone dies. Like, oh, well, fuck you then. So, sorry, story, I'm not sure I was entirely fair to you. But no. No thank you. No. I think next time we have to do the one where Pudge loves Crystal Maiden.
I was gonna say we could do ones that didn't have romance in them, but I guess that would narrow us down to, like, 0.5% of fanfics. So
honestly, part of it is that tends to narrow us down to comedy, and I have a much harder time being charitable with comedy.
I see. All right.
So, well, fanfiction corner. In his blind rage, Troll Warlord killed everyone on the battlefield.
Hooray! Rampage!
Rampage!
You know why it's called a rampage, right?
Because he killed a bunch of people.
No, in the game, why it's called a rampage.
Because you kill a bunch of people. What's your answer to that question?
My answer to that question is because Troll Warlord used to have an ability called Rampage as his ult that was so powerful that you basically got a rampage every time you used it. And they fixed that, but now it's sort of a legacy shout-out.
It's back for this story.
Yes. So, thanks everybody for joining us. An episode's a little bit on the shorter side, but I imagine that next week we can have a special episode with host Emeritus Johnny with 6.86 patch notes. I am not promising that. I have not checked with him. When the patch notes come out, we will put something out. It may just be me being a crazy person, but we will have something. Thanks everybody for listening. You can find us on iTunes as Bottle Crow Podcast. No, is it just Bottle Crow? It's just Bottle Crow. You could give us a rating or review there. We'd be greatly appreciated. You should also give word to your Dota-playing friends about us, because, you know, that's the only real way we have to spread word about the podcast. We are a... this is a production under the Scanline Media umbrella. You can find that website at scanlinemedia.com. It is me, host Emeritus Johnny, and also friend Ben Uncle, and we do various reviews and podcasts and video content about games in general. We also have a Patreon for that site at patreon.com/scanlinemedia, Any contributions will go towards getting us new software and hardware for coverage on the site. None of it goes into people's pockets. However, all of our content is free and will stay free for the foreseeable future. You can send in any emails to bottlecrowpodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet us anything at bottlecrow on Twitter. And special thanks to Reddit user Promoti for use of his Harmonies of New Bloom music pack, which we use as our intro and outro on this podcast. It's in-game music, you can buy it, and it's great. You should really give it a listen. Thanks, everybody, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.